And now it's time for Stages.
All the world's a stage.
It's where we talk about,
all things theatrical.
It's about theatre.
Theatre makers.
If it's performing on a stage, we've got it for you here on Stages.
It's about half an hour long.
Okay, let's get on with the show.
Yes, let's get on with the show. Yes, you're getting your weekly dose of Stages here on 2SER 107.3. I'm Roderick Chambers, and of course I'm here with Tricia Stars. Welcome back, Tricia.
Thanks, Rod. It's a pleasure to be here.
What have we got on this week?
Oh, well, we are talking in the studio to Charlie Sanders and Max Garcia Underwood about the wonderful production Split, which is opening at 505 in Newtown.
Oh, now that's the 505 that's moved from 307 via 212, isn't it? That 505. Well, that'll be good. And we're also going to be talking about the Bangarra exhibition, aren't we?
Yes, that's right. Choice? And we're having Mark Kilmurray in to talk about The Odd Couple. And also we're going to talk a little bit about Lion Queen at the Opera House. It's a topical and risque revenue-style cabaret. Trevor Ashley's new adults-only spoof brings you romance, comedy, politics, trash culture, and its cheapest send-up of every movie ever made on or near an island. So that sounds great. And that is playing presently at the Opera House. And as we're talking about Bangarra, well, they have...
Revenue style, I noticed you said.
Oh.
Did you?
A review style.
Oh, review style. Oh,
I'm
sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I thought, oh, yeah, it's one of these ones that's designed to make a bit of quick cash.
No, it's a review. Actually, I wasn't quite sure what it was because it's sending up movies, but it's actually it's a cabaret. So it's and it's also
of
review
Of course, it's
style.
Trevor Ashley. It'll
that's
be a cabaret.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, it'll be great.
And also the Bangarra news was that there's a new breed of Australian dance creators, Josh Moo, Lauren Langlois, Ariella Casu, David D. Giovanni, and this incredibly talented group of choreographers will create brand new pieces for the Sydney Dance Company. One's called In Walked Bud, Arise, Creeper, and Zero. And they're all just about half an hour each long, and they're playing at the moment until the 7th of December at Carriage Works. So if you love dance, go along and see how these wonderful choreographers are experimenting on the dancers of the Sydney Dance Company.
Yes. And sadly, I'd just like to mention one person we're not going to see on stages anymore is Andrew Greedy-Smith, who died the night before last, unfortunately, on the way back from a gig in Tathra, beautiful south coast.
Yeah.
Very sad, from mental as anything. I was fortunate enough to get an interview with Glenn A. Baker yesterday, and that's on our 2SER website if you wanted to hear what he said about the career of Greedy-Smith. We might actually play a little bit of Mental as Anything a bit later on, the Mentals, so stay tuned. Stages. I'm Roderick Chambers here with Tricia Stars, and in the studio right now we've got Max Garcia Underwood and Charlie Sanders, who are in the midst of a show called The Split. Tricia, what do we know about this show, Split?
Well, we do know that it is just premiering right now at 5:05 and that it has had a bit of a run in Adelaide, I believe. And perhaps, Charlie, if you wouldn't mind just giving us a little bit of a background of what the story is actually about. I understand that it is set in a boat or something like that.
Yeah, so it's a brand new Australian play, and you're very right. It is set on a boat. Two characters, Tom, who Max plays, and Jules, who are very close, to each other. And they've taken a trip away to reconcile their life to some massive changes that are about to happen. I won't give away too much more than that plot-wise, because one of the really beautiful things about the play is discovering with, the dramatic suspense of discovering what those changes are and how it's affecting them. But the play is about how we deal with change and deal with the people closest to us in the face of imminent change, be it positive or negative, global or personal. So,
Are they going somewhere in particular, or they're just
they're not
getting
going
away?
Anywhere?
They've they're just on the
dropped
boat.
Anchor on the boat,
oh, they've dropped
and
anchor.
They've
okay.
Put themselves away from society to kind of. So it's kind of almost a bottle episode, of a play. Yeah. It's like, how do you deal with this other person in this space?
So like a kitchen sink drama, but out of the kitchen on the boat.
Exactly, yeah.
Fishing boat drama.
And Max, what's your character all about that you're playing in this?
Well, I feel like this is similar to what Charlie said. I think talking too much on it gives things away. It's more fun to kind of discover it along with us.
All right. Well,
I was going to say,
what are you drawing on then as an actor to make this role work? What's the depths that you're plunging?
Well, so Tom is a very anxious person and feels and thinks things about himself and the world very deeply. So kind of getting into that, it just requires...
Relationship problem, has there?
You'll see.
Yeah.
Or is there about to be a relationship problem? are we trying to get away from life?
Somewhat. Tom certainly is. I think he's in a point in his life where he's a bit unsure how to move forward and possibly thinks that being away from things for a while is the best course of action.
Right, so it's about getting into people's heads and feeling their emotions.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to admit, I have seen you on the ABC.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, and it was a show I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Was it called Shit Adelaide? No.
I'm not sure.
The one we can't say.
I'm allowed to say that.
Okay.
Effing Adelaide.
Effing Adelaide.
Oh, that's it? Yeah. Oh, that's why I said that, I think. Yeah. But I just enjoyed it, and I enjoyed your character so much. I have to confess, I'm originally from Adelaide.
Oh, very nice.
And so when I did watch it. So this play has actually...
That'll ruin our listenership.
Especially if they've seen the show. So this did play in Adelaide first, is that right? Sarah Hamilton, is she from Adelaide who wrote this, Charlie?
So Sarah, the writer, is actually originally from Tasmania.
Oh, she's from Hobart, isn't
she? Yeah, she's Hobart. Yeah. Yeah. So she spent a decade or so in Melbourne and has recently moved back to Hobart, the increasingly popular arts Tasmania change. Everyone seems to be heading over there.
Yeah.
But Sarah and I connected in Edinburgh, actually, many years ago.
Yeah.
And then reconnected a year and a half or so ago and started planning this project. The reason for the Adelaide connection is that Max is an Adelaidean and I lived there for the better part of a decade and still do quite a lot of work there.
Mm.
So don't tell the Adelaideans this, but this opportunity came up after we'd confirmed the Sydney season to have an Adelaide season prior, and we thought, great, out-of-town tryout. We'll test it out in the very friendly, arts community over there.
So now that it's opening this week, it's all ready and fine-tuned, and even though it's a brand-new play and production.
Yeah, absolutely. The beauty of the Adelaide season. I mean, it was beautiful in Adelaide, but we've had a chance to do a few more little tweaks and cuts and make sure that it's, nice and tight. So it's a really tight 90 minutes straight through now. And I think we had our first preview audience yesterday, and a number of people that I was speaking to in the foyer were like, oh, it goes so fast. You know, it's a play where not a lot happens, but in terms of plot and, you know, that kind of stuff. But we've gotten it to this stage that I'm so proud of, where it's a really, really tight kind of, there's something going on emotionally, psychologically at every single moment. You're never a step in front of the characters. You're always
just
keeping up with them. Yeah, exactly like the characters are, you know, trying to discover where they're getting to in this challenging shift in their relationship.
It's on a boat. Have you done anything to make people feel maritime, or it's...
Well, the main kind of nod towards a feeling of being at sea is Sonic. So Max can probably speak to this more cogently, but Max and a wonderful composer called Mario Spater worked incredibly closely together on a kind of an original score, which about 50 or 60% of the show has this score under it, which evokes the sounds of the sea and the feelings of waves that, you know, that kind of unsure, slightly rocking quality that might give you. So it's kind of
no one's singing sea shanties or anything like that.
No, not a sea shanty.
Not sea shanties.
Although there is a little bit of singing.
Is there? Oh, okay. Oh, now you're giving something away.
Yeah, not a musical, but the characters have a bit of a sing at a couple of points, which is a very fun moment with a... altered lyric version of some Celine Dion that is very amusing.
Well, so we'll have to practice our Celine Dion singing, right?
Yeah.
And Charlie, House of Sand, that's your company. Is it your production company that's producing this, or you're part of that company?
Yeah, so House of Sand is myself and my sister and closest collaborator, Eliza Sanders, and we have been operating since 2015. Mm. Making theatre, dance and everything in between, basically. So Eliza is a dancer and choreographer, and I'm a theatre director and erstwhile actor. And we work both here in Sydney as well as in Adelaide, in Wellington, where Eliza spends a lot of her time, and in Canberra. So Sydney audiences probably only see us pop up once a year or so, same in each place, but we're kind of working pretty consistently all around the kind of southeastern quarter and New Zealand.
Oh, well done. That's fantastic.
It's quite a lot. It's a lot of time on planes.
and Max, you and Amy have had the opportunity to have quite a bit of input into this project, have you?
Somewhat, yeah. I think so. I remember even the first time we did a read of this play, the first time we all got together, because we were very fortunate enough to have Sarah Hamilton, the writer, sit in with us and work through that process. She actually changed a few things in the script between that read and our first rehearsal that Amy and I just happened to mess up or say differently at the time. And it's been really, really generous and lovely with us taking a few of the moments of the script and making it something that we can relate to more. And it's been great. It's been fantastic.
So quite immersive for you then.
Yeah. Well, she's been really kind and, like I said, kind and generous in letting us feel as emotionally close to each moment as we can. And sometimes that means just changing a word or two of her writing so that it fits better for us, which has been awesome. So great.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're getting a bit close to the end of our segment here. What is there anything else we need to know about?
Well, I just was going to say that Sarah Hamilton, she wrote the wonderful play They Saw a Thylacine. That's the other one that she wrote, if people have seen that.
Thylacine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thylacine.
A kind of ongoing obsession with humans' relation to the natural world through Sarah's work. So They Saw a Thylacine played Sydney at Parramatta at the Riverside Theatres there a number of years ago. She's got another work that Sydneysiders might not be as familiar with called A Donkey and a Parrot, which did a big national tour in kind of 2012, 13, 14. And this play kind of continues on that obsession or interest in the natural world and humans. So, you know.
Well, it sounds fantastic. Yeah.
And you've just opened, haven't you?
We have, official opening night. When the industry and the media all come and, you know, sit there stony-faced I'm sure they won't, is tomorrow night. We have another preview this evening at 8 p.m. and then we run Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday through till the end of next week, the 14th.
Yeah, theold505.com if you want to look that one up. And also charles@houseofsand.org. Charlie will help you out with any queries you might have.
Anything you need to know.
Yeah, that's right. And look, thank you so much, Max and Charlie, for coming in to see us here on Stages.
Yeah,
it's been
great
having you in here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks very much.
Yes, this is Stages here on 2SER 107.3. I'm Roderick Chambers. I'm Roderick Chambers. Got to get my name right. And I'm here with lovely Trisha Starrs as ever. Trisha, you're always going out to see wonderful shows. Now, you last week said you're going out to see Crap's Last Tape. I presume you saw it.
I did. I did see it. And, of course, we had the wonderful Brian Thompson in for an interview, which was fabulous last week.
So you thought you'd better go along.
So I went along. It's directed by Gail Edwards, starring Jonathan Biggins. And I have to say, it's only running till December 14th at the Old Fitz. Just go and see it.
If you can get a ticket, it's very special, and it's hard to get a ticket.
It's a one-act play. Jonathan Biggins doesn't go over the top with this, which I really appreciate. And Rod, I came out with a whole different idea on philosophy.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Oh.
And with Regina, who came with me, we were talking about making some tapes of our lives and that sort of thing. So it really is quite moving and really makes you think. And the other thing I wanted to talk about, Rod, was that 1984, the musical is coming out. And, of course, next year Shrek the musical is coming out. So, 1984 is a book, a film. What's going on? Everybody is just making musicals out of anything. So, I mean, in Australia, from movies, we've had Priscilla, Queen of the Desert was a musical.
A bit of old Terry Towling in the cupboard. Maybe they'll make a musical out of that.
Exactly. Strictly Ballroom. What other musicals? You know, can you think of any, Rod?
Yes, I can. Irene is coming up. I really want to see Irene.
Okay.
Oh, well, I love that musical. Irene, oh dear.
Well, 9 to 5, the musical that was made out of a film. Miss Sunshine was made from a film. The Bodyguard was made from a film. Beetlejuice. I mean, it just goes on. Bend It Like Beckham. Eating Raoul. That was made into a musical. That's a very strange 80s film. Tootsie was made into a musical. So, yeah, I think...
So no one's got any originality. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm just saying that it seems that films seem to be the new fodder for ideas for, yes, and no one's got an original idea.
It used to be the musical was made into a film, and now it's wretched films that you've got to use to make the musical.
That's right. If a film wins an Academy Award...
It's just not right, Trish. It's just not right.
It's against the law.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not with you on this one. I think people should have come up with the old ways, like when Sigmund Romberg used to sit there with, what was the name? Oh, I can't think of the name of the librettist that he used to use. And they'd sit there and they'd go, you know, what about this? What about that? And they'd throw ideas around. It was like, you know, producing a new song.
Yeah.
And then they come up with something completely new.
Exactly. But, nothing's
Where's
new.
That gone?
Anyway, let's
Where's
listen to
creativity?
A great old song. Let's listen to David Bowie 1984 to celebrate 1984, the musical.
Right now, we've got a wonderful Mark Kilmurry from the Ensemble Theatre with a new take on The Odd Couple. Mark, welcome to Stages.
Hello, thank you.
I should say. We've had you on many times before. Thank you. Give us a bit of an idea of why are you doing The Odd Couple?
Good question. why am I doing The Odd Couple? Well, because it's a very beautifully crafted comedy by Neil Simon. It's set in 1964-65, but it still speaks volumes today. It's about men trying to get along with the best friends, but they're living together is a very different
idea. It's a very different idea. Thing, isn't it?
It is. And for me, it was just about keeping it real and not playing to the comedy. There are no jokes in this play. Of course, there are, but play it truthfully, and then we get to see the real people behind the way it's usually done, you know, usually produced.
And I think this play can be quite surprising. I, you know, it is, as you said, an older play, but it does deal with themes of suicide, divorce, mm-hmm. yep. depression, and even mental health issues sort of pop up. Yes. And it's not just the two people. I mean, I think people remember Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon or Jack Klugman and Tony yep. Randall, but in actual fact, it's not a two-hander. It has...
It's a poker scene, isn't it?
Yeah, that's yeah. right. It has... It's strong character-based comedy, and yes. there are about eight in the cast or so, isn't there?
It is eight, yes, which we lay down for a little while when we realised there was eight in the cast, and then yeah. picked ourselves back up and said, yeah, we can still do this. But yes,
oh, that's right,
and
there's the girls from upstairs, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, the Pigeon
that's
Sisters.
Right.
So
the Pigeon Sisters,
It is character-based, but as you say, I think you said character-based, and it is very much a character-based comedy, and there are those huge themes, and Neil Simon is very good at touching on those themes. He doesn't send them up. It's there, and the subtext is there. It's the way the characters deal with them is where the comedy comes, but it's underneath these things are being discussed, and that's what I love about the play. It's not just a silly go-for-gags comedy. There's actually things being said.
And I think that's always funnier, actually, when you have those themes. And those themes are really pertinent to 2019. I mean, those are themes
Absolutely.
That we are all dealing with now. And, of course, you've got a fantastic cast with Brian Megan playing yeah. Felix. And yeah. Who's...
Stevie Rogers playing
And Stevie,
Oscar,
oh,
yeah.
of course, they're beloved, yes.
Yeah. yes,
and,
indeed.
Yeah, and I just wanted to ask about Felix because I haven't actually seen this production, but for me, right. Felix always comes across as the one who really has more of the problems. You know, I mean, Oscar is just a slob that could be, I guess, you know, helped out with a bit of house cleaning tips. But what is going on with Felix?
Well, with Felix and Oscar, I think with Oscar, just firstly, he has got that idea of sort of sitting on the couch and dropping food down his jersey, but he's also got an inability to motivate himself, and that's a sort of crushing thing of living in a house with eight empty rooms. He's just gone to pieces, and his friends coming around and playing cards every week is the only highlight of his week apart from his job. And so Felix, on the other hand, has lots of issues, lots of phobias. He calls himself a bit of a nut, in his own words. But his phobias and his issues and his health issues that are real or not real or imagined, again, are coming from this place of loneliness. So they're both two lonely men trying to deal with their own issues. And that's why they're the odd couple, and that's why there's conflict and friction. But at the same time, they help each other. And because of their different natures, in the end, they come to an understanding of somewhere in between. And that's the cleverness of the play, of course.
Yeah, because I think Felix might be diagnosed as an OCD type person these days, yeah. mightn't he?
Yes, that's and, right.
And, a bit on the spectrum, maybe. Even.
Maybe. and as you say, Felix, and they're both a bit depressive in their own ways, but they both kind of irritate each other out of it in some yes. respects, don't they?
They do.
It's the needling and the poking and the
yeah.
and
it's like a shock to the
they
system.
Go to the brink, almost to the brink of killing each other, metaphorically.
I think there aren't many friends, if you think about your friends, good friends, that you could actually live with. You can see
no,
your friends
true.
And have a great afternoon or a weekend away, but actually living with people, you're very, very choosy. There might not be many.
Well, that's right. I mean, I was thinking when I was watching years ago the scene, the pokers, the scene, I'm thinking, you know, I don't know whether I could live with Murray.
Yeah.
You know, Murray yeah, well, would irritate the hell out of me.
That's right. And they say that in the play too. Felix says, you think yourself lucky, you could be living with Murray.
That's right.
And the card players have this lovely dimension too, because their other outside lives, we hear so much about them through their reported speech, and it gives them this reality too, which is very, very lovely to play with.
And when you announced this, Mark, I suppose so many people know about it. Did you have a big sort of flow of positive vibes from people going, oh, thank goodness you're doing this, it's a wonderful show?
Yes, but pretty much it's selling really well and the reviews have been lovely. I think it's just been that it's Christmas and a comedy at Christmas is always a good thing, I think. And with everything that's going on in the world, it's nice to come in and forget. But as you say, and as it is in the play, there's a lot there if you want there to be. And so that's the balance I always look for. Some plays of that era now are becoming very dated with their attitudes towards gender. And you have to be careful, I think, about what you're saying now as opposed to how good it was then. But some, like The Odd Couple, I think, as you say, still stand.
Yes, I think so. And how did you feel coming to it, Mark, with a fresh view and looking at it in 2019? Did you enjoy it or did you see new things in the play?
Yes, well, I did. I mean, I was struck by the themes, as we've said, and also the comedy is so beautiful. The timing, with the rehearsal process with the actors in the room, it was just constantly I think me saying keep it real, but then also you've got to hit that line because that rhythm means that that's funny. If you underplay it, then you don't get it, so you have to hit the line, but also don't sell it too hard because then you're playing for comedy. So it was very tricky balance. Particularly the actors were exhausted by then because it's so technical, and you don't get plays written, contemporary plays, as technical as that nowadays. And so that was the beauty of doing this play, but also the challenge.
And of course, Nicholas, playing one of the car players, he's had amazing reviews. I read some reviews this morning. And how is he going with hitting those that timing and being that card shark, the one that's kind of, he's always winning, isn't he?
He's always winning by default. he doesn't seem to put any effort into it. All the card players are wonderful. They've all got their individual characters. There's Roy Murray and Vinny and Speed, and all of the actors play them so well, and we didn't want them to be a sort of uniform chorus that Oscar and Felix are the highlighted character. Everybody had to have their own investment, and when you get such a great cast as I have, then half your job is done, you know. So it was just keeping it real, and Nicholas is Vinny's a beautiful, wonderful character, and he plays it so well, as do they all.
Yeah, and Neil Simon, he is genuinely funny. I think we all forget that, and it's the 60s, people do think, you know, there is that dating. But, yeah, I think The Odd Couple, you know, and like I was saying before, if you can just all anybody ever thinks about is Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau, but I think having these great actors, Australian actors, play it and seeing it in a 2019 sort of view, I think it really freshens it up, doesn't it?
Where it does.
Yeah.
And setting it back where it was set in the night, we had great fun, Hugh Connor's the designer, and we had fantastic fun creating that era, fashion, the look of the apartment.
Oh, so you have set it in the 60s.
Set in 1965, so it's set there, and that's just been a joy. And audiences respond to that, the old record players, the whatever, the stuff that was on at the time brought to life again. I feel it's a bit like digitally remastering an old classic, you know, and giving it a fresh sort of look.
Well, I think it's a fresh idea not to be interrupted by smartphone messaging.
Felix is on the phone, texting all the time.
It would be could work, but it would be a pretty big update.
Yeah, I mean, you tell people in the audience to turn off their smartphones, and then all the actors are using them. I mean, that's what sometimes happens these days, isn't it?
Our announcement is it's 1965. There were no cell phones in 1965, so please turn yours off. In a jokey comic way, but it
lovely.
Seems to work so far.
All right. Well, that's something you'd really appreciate if you can wangle yourself a ticket at the Ensemble, which is always hard because it's a very successful theatre group and very successful theatre. Thanks in no part to you, no small part I should have said to you, Mark Kilmurray.
No part to
me. That's right. The director, of course.
Dear, I'm stuffing up all over the place today.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Yeah. And thank you for very much for talking to us here on Stages.
Absolute pleasure.
It's about all all we've got time for here now on Stages. Trish, we've run out of time yet again.
I know. So much on in Sydney Theatre to go and see.
So much fun talking to Mark there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. He's great.
And lovely having Charlie and Max into the studios. Yeah. So it's been a great show here on Stages. We're going to be back again next week with another great show.
Yes.
How do we do it, Trish?
I don't know.
It's amazing.
We've got to thank our executive producer, Regina Botros,
shouldn't we?
Of course.
Thank you, Regina, wherever you are.
Yes.
We haven't seen you for ages. Come back. Anyway, we'll be looking forward to that. And, of course, Christmas is coming up rather too soon. But, nevertheless, we've got a few more shows for you here, giving you what's going on in Sydney. Thanks for having us at your house. And it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me, Tricia.